Hello, this is Gerald Chavez with BPNRadio.com. You're back again. Welcome back. Don't forget, go to BPNRadio.com and look for ways that you can enter into the ministry as well. You're doing great just by tuning in to BPNRadio.com. If you go down to the bottom of that webpage, you will see a button that you can click on that will allow you to become a part of this wonderful ministry. Your donations are tax deductible, so go and do that right now. Also, if you'd like to be a part of the Saturday Marketplace, look forward to our new website, which is being released here soon. You're going to love it. It's going to look great. You know, I was thinking all week long of some of the things that I face in my own struggles, and one of the ones that's just there, and I don't know if it's just because I'm a business owner or because I'm a father of a 16-year-old, or if it's because I'm just here on this earth. I think it's all of the above and more, but it's anger. And yeah, you work on getting a handle on it, but boy, does it just bubble up. I mean, almost daily. I don't know how your walk is. I'm a work in progress and working on trying to mute that. I don't think it'll ever completely go away, but I turn to God's word to help me prepare for those moments. There are triggers, and I know they exist, but I'm trying to get those triggers pretty much locked off where they aren't triggers, or at least they trigger less by using God's word. My anger has never brought me 1 ounce of happiness. I mean, not one. The minute I'm finished with a tirade, and that tirade doesn't have to be high volume. I mean, there's ways to be angry being passive aggressive. There's ways to be angry by ignoring, acting indifferent. Bingo, been there, done that. And what about just the outright, when you do raise your voice, throw that frown in there and the mean eyes? That's not being very nice. That's not godly at all. Trying to intimidate, trying to get the last word in, whether it's with business, friends, family, yeah, all of it. Just, my goodness, if I could just control this one thing, but there's so much more. But let's talk about anger today, because I believe that in business, anger is right there, and it's a waste of time, a waste of energy. So we're going to review some of that today. I went to Bible.org. It's a website. I'm sure many of you have seen it. If not, go there. It's got some good stuff, good references that you can use. And I'm reading from their selection on Lesson 18 of Dealing with Your Anger. Yep, touchy subject, but here we go. Let's dive right in. First, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, praying to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I just pray that you would meet the needs that are present here at this time. And dear Lord, that you would let every listener know that you are God, that you are with them, and that you have a peace that surpasses all understanding that's waiting for everyone. I pray, dear Lord, that they would come to you, that we would all continue to go to you daily and go to your word and learn and grow in you as we face our time here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so here we go. If you think that you're going to overcome sin by yourself, I would say that would be really hard. I don't know of anyone that's just turned it off like a switch. Oh, I just removed it. I have no need for anger. That might be how I feel, but it's still there. It's just part of my flesh. I don't know if it's part of yours. I have some friends, though, that handle their anger in such a good way. And I'm just like, man, what's your secret? What do you do? Every one of them tells me, that's God's word. I meditate on it daily. I fill my time with God's word. And one even told me a thing of, well, it's kind of hard to do wrong when you're focusing on God's word most of the day or in those idle times. So that includes riding in the car, watching the same old reruns on TV, or maybe you're into binge watching, I don't know, any of those shows that comes on the Netflix or the Hulu or whatever they have these days. I'm guilty of binge watching some Gaither stuff and Shark Tank. Yeah. But anyway, when I'm done with my Shark Tank binging, I usually think, you know, maybe I should have had more time with God that day, and it's always that's the right answer. But I digress. Here we go. Let's see. We'll start with Genesis chapter 4. out of the New King James Version. Here we go. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So right there in Genesis, yep, it says it right there. We're supposed to work to overcome our sin. We're supposed to work by using God's word and letting it work in us to overcome that sin. This is anger. You deal with it daily. It just kind of slips out, and you kind of, oh, golly, that's ugly. Well, might as well go all the way. And next thing you know, you're feeling pretty bad about it. The worst part is when you don't feel bad about it. That hardening of the heart. You know, we start to make anger our practice, and we should be making God's word and implementation of God's word in our Christian walk our practice. Whatever we practice is what we put to use. It's what we go to. It's routine. It's automatic. And I suffer from years and years of the practice of letting anger dwell up, letting it over, boil over, and then retreating, feeling sorry, asking forgiveness, and then going to God for forgiveness too. I don't think that's the right practice. The practice I should have, and that you might benefit from too, is stopping that the minute you feel it coming on, the minute you feel, uh-oh, here's one of those instances where I might boil over. I like to picture literally a pot on a stove. And my goal isn't to avoid it getting boiled over. My goal is to keep the burner from ever being turned from the off position. I had to pick a goal like that so that I catch it early and not late in the process. So I'm trying to make that my practice. But failure comes. And with that failure, those days where, oh, I may have not gone to 10, but that was definitely that was a 6 or a 7. And the devil comes around to make sure that we feel like losers. Ah, look at you. You did it again. Mr. Practice, practice, practice. Oh, you go right back to that old shoe of yours and put it on because it feels good. Maybe God's failing you, Gerald. Oh, you know, maybe you're not worthy. Yeah, you know, you let's come on back over here and let's just go back to the way things were and give up on that. It's impossible. And I would say that's exactly what the devil uses to have all of us start to doubt ourselves or doubt our faith or doubt the power of God's word. That little bit of doubt by accusing, by what do you think now, Gerald? Huh? It's a day, you're in your fourth year of trying to get this right and you keep slipping. And we need to remember that slipping is okay. Repentance is there. And if you're feeling bad about something you've done, lying, other things, we'll talk about a lot of other stuff in the days to come, but that's a good indicator that the Holy Spirit's working inside you. And God gives us so many ways to even just avoid the sin, but His word never says we'll be sin-free. So I don't let myself get down and be accused by Satan into believing, yeah, I'm not worthy. Yeah, maybe God didn't. Maybe he died for everyone else's sins, but not mine. And yeah, and that was, I just put in the most time in the Bible this past week, and boom, went to 7 on anger. Maybe I'm not doing it. Maybe I'm just not cut out for this. And that's exactly what he wants. And I refuse to play into that hand. I refuse to. I'll take God's promises. I'll take everything in the Bible and keep working at it and keep praying harder, longer, more time in the Bible, less time listening to the accuser. And I will ask forgiveness of the folks that I've shown anger to. And I'll ask God for forgiveness. And I'll ask God for help. Send support, dear Lord. Teach me more of your word so that I can recall the word at the very beginning of whatever incident is about to occur that might set it off. And I'll tell you this, in 4 years of really addressing it and literally writing it down and hanging it up in my office, anger, it's number one. I want it gone. I detest it. I don't like being around it in other people. And I used to get angry when other people got angry, but now, after walking with the word and trying to walk out those things that Jesus told us to do, all of them, that's very difficult, but it's a great way to spend your life just striving for that. I realize, wow, I really can't get mad at somebody for doing what I'm also guilty of. And that keeps me from being a hypocrite. And believe it or not, I use that moment to reflect and go, wow, yeah, that's kind of like looking in the mirror there 10 years ago. Wow, I wonder how many people I set off when I was being angry. So let's jump back to this Bible.org article that I'm reading from, and it says that anger has three faces, usually expressed in three different ways, by being explosive and blowing up, I like to say boiling over, and making a mess of everything. Number two, stewing and brewing, silent indignation. Okay, yeah, that's the withdrawing, passive aggressive. Yeah, definitely. And number three, just being irritable and showing exasperation. A silent anger is just as offensive to God as explosive anger, according to this article. I would agree. And I'd ask myself this and ask you too. And how are you prone to express your anger? In which one of those ways? Going on to number two, it says that anger hurts relationships. You choose who is on the receiving end of your anger because anger is a perceived threat to something you hold valuable. Okay? The problem is we can go a whole day at being nice to our coworkers only to lose it at home with those closest to us. We tend to take it out on those we are called to love the most. Is that not true? Yeah, friends step on my toes. I don't say a word. They're friends. They're special. Oh, hey, that's okay, friend. I'm there for you. Come home. Wife says one thing. Whoa, what did I tell you? I don't like to bring up that subject when I'm home from work. It's not something I want to talk about right now. Can't I get some rest? I just worked all day. And that's not right. Let's just call it what it is. That's wrong. We're not going to do that, Gerald. Yep. Put it on the list. It already is on the list. What do you know? So I would ask, like I asked myself, is who has been on the receiving end of your anger the most? Now, draw that back to business. Anger hurts relationships. Yeah, you get mad on the phone if you think that order is going to come through by some fist pounding or some threats. Okay, the order might come through. The work might get done. The workers will put their nose to the grindstone. They're going to grind it out for you, boss man. But you're not winning anyone to the Lord. You're not showing them God's love. I don't know that God's going to bless that. Okay, your bottom line. A few more pennies, a few more pieces of silver. Is that the gain we're after? Because that's temporary. That's not building up heavenly treasures. That's storing up stuff that we can't take with us that's just going to be left behind to rot away. Maybe it'll be enjoyed by those in our family. Maybe it won't. I've known some families that when they do leave an inheritance, nothing good comes of it. And I mean nothing. So I've even heard some very, very well-off people say the worst thing they would ever imagine doing is leaving a huge nest egg to their children, because they'd never learn the blessing that comes with hard work and having to do it on their own with the help of the Lord. That's amazing to hear. And when I've heard that, I've always scratched my head and thought, I'm going to save that one because that might play into my life. We never know. Okay, so anger is also a life-dominating sin. It's just like any other addiction. We can become enslaved to anger. It might satisfy our sinful desire in flesh, but we're going to feel guilty and ashamed when we give full vent to it. And who hasn't felt that? That sinking feeling of just like a boulder just goes down your gullet and lands in your stomach, and then it's at your toes, and you're like, ugh, this is bad. Why did I do this? And a lot of times, it may have just happened the other day or earlier that morning. We're prone to repeat some of these things, these bad practices. We got to get into God's Word and make better use and practice what He's telling us to do. That's what's going to help us along the way. So I would say it's a vicious cycle of self-destruction. That's the statement here from Bible.org. I would agree with that. Who does it hurt the most? The recipient? Sure. Yeah, it hurts them a lot. But what does it do to ourselves? I don't know any time that anger has brought me 1 ounce of happiness or resolve to whatever problem it was in the first place that made me angry. The problem's still there. Not one time has my anger changed the problem. Not at all. Disappointments? Sure. You're destined to have disappointments in business. Markets will change. Customers will change. The need for your service or whatever article you're selling could change. Okay. God doesn't change. God's Word doesn't change. Put your value in that. God and God's Word. And all these other little hiccups that happen, they won't even seem like hiccups. You'll go with the flow. You'll literally rebound from everything and know God's plan had it so that this would happen. He must want me doing something else. I've seen God work in my own business where He has just stepped in and brought me people that were helpful to resolve a problem that I couldn't resolve on my own for years. Folks with a special gift, maybe it's filing, maybe it's categorizing, maybe it's just enduring long hours, but God's brought that to my business. I'm just sitting here watching the business, actually. It's His business, and the folks He decides to plug in come from all walks of life. Now, all of the people that work for me happen to be believers. That helps too. I don't try to hide the fact that I'm a believer. I work really, really hard against gossip in the office. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's gossip. Pride has no place in our office, including my own pride. And we're going to put anger there too. And anger is something that just has to be dealt with. And so I would ask, like I ask myself, are you stuck in a vicious cycle of anger? I know that we can be set free. The Bible says so. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 and read there. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I like to just hold on to that. The final sentence there reminds me that I was set free and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I do picture the blood when I see the red letters of the Bible, and it's overwhelming, because I've had enough loss now in my life to realize that that sacrifice was very real, and that Jesus is very real. God is very real. The Holy Spirit is very real. And it's a covenant. It's a covenant with God to follow His commands and not just play games with it. You know, we've all heard and read in Revelation about the lukewarm and being lukewarm, the image, and I'm paraphrasing right now, but the image of Jesus not, if you're going to be one thing, don't be lukewarm or you'll be spit out of His mouth. And that's I'm going to call that a word picture. That just means the worst. That means, oh wow. Yeah, He'd rather you pick a side, be hot or cold. Just don't be lukewarm. And when I think of being lukewarm and then translate it over to my walk, I try to make sure, and I'm sure like you do, we should all work toward not being lukewarm. I have the luxury of having some friends that are new believers, and I say luxury because it may have been a few years ago for some of us, for some of you, for some many years. But the new believer is on fire, and especially if they come on board when they're a little older in their years, and they're like kids almost, and just feeling this freedom of being free from sin. And some are actually overcoming sin in a major way, be it being released from prison or overcoming an addiction or going through years and years of being an atheist or anything else. And they just come with this glee, this overwhelming joy, and they kind of grab you and say, hey, have you heard the good news? And well, yeah, I've been in the game a while, but when I'm around that, it's very refreshing, because I'm reminded of that early time when I first felt forgiven and knew that I needed a Savior and knew that without a Savior, I was doomed, no way out. And you know, we've all heard the stories of these billionaires that die. The very rich. Pick your own top 10, whatever list you're going to go to for the richest people on the planet. One thing's for sure, they're going to die. Even the vast amounts of money that a person might have, that might accumulate here, they're not going to save. You cannot save yourself. Even they cannot be saved from that moment, their final breath. And knowing that reminds me that, hey, make your decision and make it count, Gerald. Get ready for this. Be real. Don't be lukewarm. Stay involved. Stay in the game. Make sure your practice are godly practices so that you can overcome the evil one. And that's the daily battle we face. Now it's time for some music. I'm going to pick a few songs here that'll hopefully help to punctuate what we've touched on today. And I hope that you remain blessed this entire week, and that we find ways, you and I together, to find out when God is trying to reach us. We should have our ears open and our eyes open to look and listen for those instances where God's trying to reach us and have us impact other lives to glorify Him, and also to work on our own list that we all have. We should have our own little list of identified issues that need to be addressed according to God's word, and work on ourselves first. I think if we work on ourselves first in those issues, it'll soften our hearts when we run into them with other people. Be blessed. I'll talk to you soon.
The orphan, your kindness makes us whole.